Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about Tesla's production in China in June. We did just get those numbers. They are down from May, so we'll put them into our production tracking spreadsheet, see what they're looking like, and I've got some other context on those numbers to share. Then we've also got some news in China on customer relationships management and regulatory credits, an update on Tesla's virtual power plant program in California, new comments from Ron Barron, and a couple other items as well. Tesla stock on the day today, again underperforming the NASDAQ, finishing down 0.9% to $649.26. That compared to the NASDAQ up about 0.4%. All right, so first up, let's talk about production. Of course, we already got the global production numbers with Tesla's delivery and production report for Q2 at the start of July. But here we have China production numbers. So this allows us to see the breakdown between China and Fremont. So these numbers came out overnight per Moneyball on Twitter here. June production for Tesla in Shanghai was 30,896 vehicles. That broke down between 22,118 Model 3s and 8,778 Model Ys. Now, as I said, that number is down month over month, so Tesla's production in May in Shanghai was just shy of 37,000 vehicles. So let's hop back into our production tracking spreadsheet to break this down. I have cleaned it up a little bit. I'll continue to work on that, but hopefully it's a little bit easier to understand. But as usual, the rows are different periods of time, so month or quarters. The columns are different geographical breakdowns, so total production, Fremont production, and Shanghai production. And then I also have weekly production broken out, and Fremont and Shanghai broken out by model, between Model 3, Model Y, and S and X. Gray cells are actuals that we have reported from Tesla, yellow are my estimates, and then orange are things we have high confidence in, basically the numbers that we're getting out of China, like we're talking about here. They have seemed to be accurate over time, but they are not reported from Tesla themselves, so it could still be a little bit off. But anyway, let's focus in here on June and Shanghai. So we've got kind of two boxes here for Shanghai, total production and weekly production. So before I even enter the reported June numbers here, you can kind of see the estimates that I had in there once we got Tesla's global production report. I had about 34,000 in there for June for Shanghai, and I think it was even a little bit higher than that before we actually got the production report. But when we put in the newly reported numbers here, you can see quite a bit lower on Model Y. So about 8,800, much lower than June at about 15,000. But then for Model 3, actually a bit of an increase month over month up to over 22,000. And remember, that's in fewer days in June than there are in May, one fewer day. So that actually puts the Model 3 at above 5,100 per week, basically the peak weekly production rate that we've seen from the Model 3 in Shanghai. So remember, we had seen reports of potentially a 5-day holiday shutdown in early June for the Shanghai factory. But then after that, we heard reports that Tesla was staggering it, so the impact wouldn't really be 5 days. Maybe for some reason that inordinately affected just Model Y production, but it looks like Model 3 production was pretty much at full blast for the entire quarter. So I don't think any downtime related to that necessarily explains the drop in production that we're seeing here month over month. So we will talk a little bit more about that in a second. That's what I have more context on, but let me just orange these cells out quickly now that we've actually got the report. And you can see that that brings total Q2 Shanghai production to about 98,250 vehicles. Despite the slower June, that is still up 197% year over year and 24% quarter over quarter. You may have also noticed that that messed up our total production, so we've got to fix Fremont because lower Shanghai production, not great for Shanghai, but it does mean higher Fremont production. Tesla told us that S and X production was about 2,300. We don't know for sure the exact split between Model Y and Model 3 in Fremont, so I'll just make a couple of quick estimates there, adding about 3,000 total units to Fremont. That bumps Fremont's production up to about 108,000 units for Q2, up 7% from Q1, 120% year over year. But of course, there were shutdowns in Q2 last year in Fremont. Now, one of the interesting effects this has is that when I actually do go into Q3 projections, this is probably going to lead to me having a higher Q3 projection than the original breakdown I thought between Shanghai and Fremont. Because for Q3 now, I know that Fremont can do a higher number. And then for Shanghai, we've already seen a higher peak of production there in May than what we saw in June. And while I was expecting a better Shanghai June number, I wasn't expecting a higher peak. As we move forward into Q3, there's already precedence for Tesla doing 37,000 units in a month, and that peak rate is the most valuable to me for being able to forecast where Tesla goes from here. So basically, June Shanghai numbers weren't going to change anything for my Shanghai forecast for Q3, but a lower number means that Fremont production in Q2 was better, and that suggests a higher number in Q3 from Fremont than it would have otherwise. That'll boost the total forecast, but we'll talk more about that when we get into the Q3 estimates. So let's go back to the June production here for China. Obviously, that low Model Y number sticks out. So here's what I heard from a source in China back on June 25th. So this is before June was even completed, and this is about a month before we got these numbers. So I'm reading verbatim here. Quote, in May, we saw around 22,000 Model 3 and 15,000 Model Y produced from Shanghai. According to my source, for June, we will see 22,000 Model 3 and 8,000 to 9,000 Model Y produced. The decline for Model Y production is mainly due to chip and motor, yeah, surprised me too, shortages and weak China demand, end quote. So again, everything there, including the parenthetical, that's a direct quote, that is not my addition. And as I said when we discussed some rumors earlier this week, I tend not to report on them if I only have one source that I have no verification of their track record of, but because this was shared in June and those numbers are dead on for both Model Y and Model 3 before we got the numbers, that adds a ton of credibility here, and that's why I'm talking about this now. So yes, weak China demand, we've talked about this a lot. I do believe a lot of that is temporary, and we will talk a little bit more about that in a second, but I also think it has a lot to do with pricing as well. So remember, we saw 1 to 3 week estimated delivery times on Tesla's China Design Studio for the Model Y pretty early on into its production, but the Model Y is a more expensive vehicle, especially before the standard range Model Y was released. So maybe Tesla in June said, all right, we're coming up against the demand limit for the higher priced Model Y, let's get set for the standard range instead and hit Q3 full speed with that option, and maybe that was part of the lower June number. Of course, we've talked about the supply chain as well, mostly from a battery perspective, with the standard range going with lithium iron phosphate. Perhaps that opens up more capacity. And then what we see here from the source is that there was a motor shortage, and the standard range Model Y has fewer motors. If your motor is a constraint, well, switching over to a single motor from dual motor, that's going to alleviate that pretty quickly. Remember, most of the Model 3 produced in Shanghai should be single motor versions, and who knows, in June it could have been the entirety of the production being single motor. With that knowledge, a motor shortage could be a plausible explanation for that huge discrepancy that we're seeing, with Model Y production being down about 40% month over month, but Model 3 production being up. On the demand side, while I do think that it's likely that before the standard range Model Y was introduced, demand in China was probably lower than what Tesla China would like it to be, I think that's an unlikely reason for reduced production here in June, because I think they would just produce those vehicles knowing they could either sell them later in China or export them over to Europe, where there's obviously a huge backlog for Model Y and Tesla's already taken that action to start exporting the Y. So yes, demand definitely worth monitoring and may have played a role in other decisions that Tesla has made, but I don't see that as a very plausible reason for why Tesla would limit only Model Y production in June in Shanghai. The implication of that then is that if Tesla wouldn't have had those part shortages, they probably could have put out another 6 or 7,000 Model Ys in the quarter, which would have put production at around 213,000 instead of the 206,000 that we saw. Again here, that's bullish for Q3 because the standard range Model Y with its single motor should open up more production unless that motor shortage gets worse. So I'll continue to monitor that closely and hopefully we'll get some insight into that with the July production numbers. Moving into our other Tesla China news, we've got an update here from Kelvin Yang on Twitter who writes, quote, Tesla China builds new customer relationship management department to boost communication, customer stickiness, insights, and offline events, end quote. So we've previously talked over the last couple of months about Tesla increasing their job listings for customer and public relations type of positions in China. Sounds like Tesla may be formalizing that now to a little bit more of an extent into its own department. Kelvin sharing a little bit more detail on this here, writing, quote, Tesla China is looking to build a point system for owners similar to credit card points with newly founded CRM department, end quote. I think this is a great thing to start thinking about. It might take some time for it to really have much of an impact, but there are so many different avenues for Tesla to potentially pursue here. From things as simple as points for referrals, which Kelvin here mentions NIO already doing, to maybe points from bundling Tesla products like solar and energy storage with vehicles, to less obvious things like maybe there are points tied to high scores for games on Tesla's platform, or maybe you get points for going to various different supercharger destinations, kind of like a real-life Tesla adventure game. Really a lot of possibilities, and points could be used to pay for supercharging or, you know, service or event invitations, merchandise, so many possibilities. The downsides of those types of things are that, yes, they do have costs associated with them, and eventually, shareholders or customers have to pay those costs. But I do think there are things there that you can do that are fun and interesting and actually add value to the customer experience, hopefully making those costs worthwhile for as many stakeholders as possible, and customers there included in stakeholders. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that, and Tesla can take those learnings, obviously, and apply them worldwide. Next here, we've got a report on new energy vehicle credits in China. This is coming from cnevpost.com. They're reporting that the Chinese Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, as of July 15th, has stated that Chinese automakers can start trading their new energy vehicle credits with the trading deadline of August 31st. They cite a report from China Industrial Securities saying that those credits have recently traded at somewhere around RMB 2,500 to 3,000, And they say that Tesla earned 860,000 new energy vehicles in China in 2020, the most of any car company, which at the high end of that credit range could be about RMB 2.58 billion. Converting over to US dollars and then also considering the lower end of that credit price range could be worth about 330 to 400 million US dollars. Unfortunately, beyond this article, I don't have a lot of knowledge about how that credit system is working in China, so I will have to try it and learn a little bit more about that. But if this report is accurate and Tesla's got these credits that they need to sell before August 31st, this would be a tailwind to the regulatory credit number for the third quarter. All right, moving on from China then, we'll hop over to California. We talked earlier this week about Tesla setting up a virtual power plant beta in California. Enrollment for that starts today. So Tesla has updated that page on their site, sharing a little bit more details. So remember, at this point, the purpose of this virtual power plant, or VPP, is to help support the Californian grid during challenging periods of time this year. So they refer to those periods as events, and they describe how the VPP is going to function by saying, quote, a few hours prior to an event, you will receive a push notification informing you of event timelines. Depending on the forecasted severity of the event, your Powerwall may prioritize charging from your solar system in advance of the event to help shift your home's grid use to earlier in the day. If Powerwall fully charges before an event, your solar system will resume powering your home and export any excess power to the grid, end quote. So basically, if there's an anticipated event where power needs from the grid are going to be more than they can service, Powerwalls in this VPP will make sure that they are fully charged, ready to go in preparation for that timeline. So to make sure your Powerwall is full and ready to go for that event, it's going to demand the energy from your solar system, whereas normally that might be powering things in your house. Those things will switch over to grid power if necessary for that period of time, so that the Powerwall will be ensured to be full when the grid needs it later. There's also a frequently asked questions section in here that provides a little bit more detail for enrolling in the virtual power plant. It's pretty simple, just go through the Tesla app and it looks like it's about a four-step process, similar if you do decide to unenroll. As for ensuring that you have your own energy needs covered, Tesla does let you set a backup reserve level, and once it hits that level, it'll no longer assist in the event. As for the financial impacts, Tesla does say that they expect most of these events where they need to utilize the VPP to occur during peak hours, so customers that are in net energy metering programs may earn credits from that. But aside from that, at this time, there's no additional compensation for customers to join this VPP. Same thing for Tesla. Tesla says, quote, as of launch, the Tesla Virtual Power Plant is a public good program to support the California grid, and there is no compensation for Tesla or customers. While customer compensation for this program is a possibility in the future, in the meantime, customers are encouraged to participate in the program and mobilize the excess capacity of their Powerwall systems, end quote. So at this point, as Tesla said, this is more goodwill emergency backup for the Californian grid, not some energy arbitrage that is a profit center for Tesla. But as Tesla said, this is a beta, and maybe that'll change in the future. All right, last up here is a note from Ron Barron for Barron Funds. Obviously, they have huge positions in both Tesla and SpaceX. This is for the end of June quarter. So this was a couple weeks back, but I did see it pop up today, so figured might as well throw it in here in case anyone else had missed it. The update in its entirety is about 3.5 pages, and an entire page is dedicated to Elon Musk and Tesla and SpaceX. So nothing that we don't know in here, but if you do want to hear Ron's take on these topics, I'll put the link to that in the show notes. You can check it out. But he does say, quote, we expect Tesla and SpaceX to each become substantially larger, more profitable, and much more valuable during the next 10 years, end quote. I definitely agree with that, and I think that's a great place to leave it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, July 23rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.